The Alien Invasion is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
We interrupt this program to give you a bulletin just received from one of our naval units at sea. A large object traveling at supersonic speed is headed over the North Atlantic toward the east coast of the United States.
This earth of yours will be reduced to a burned-out cinder.
This could be the beginning of the end for the human race. Human beings cower before the onslaught of these unearthly enemies.
It's Thursday, October 11th, 2012, and welcome to another Galactic Netcast. This is the Alien Invasion number 50. We've reached 50, guys. Yay!
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 And this is the last
they
one.
They said it couldn't be done, yet we have.
From Waterloo, Iowa, I'm Dave Fantastic Nelson. Joining me as always, and I did not write that, by the way, from Wausau, Wisconsin, it's Brad. Okay, what the hell? How do you pronounce that?
Alonzi.
Ludwig. And Anessa Geronimo Moyens from Denton, Texas. I understand.
Are you noticing the theme here?
No, explain it, please.
Doctor Who. Christopher Doctor Eccleston would always say fantastic. David Tennant was Alonzi. And Matt Smith is Geronimo.
Okay, I don't pick up on these things. I'm sorry.
Oh, breaking my heart.
Sorry, it's just not within my privy. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to break your heart. Oh.
Don't go breaking my heart.
Okay, I'm going to work this entire podcast. I'm going to try to make it up to you through the entire podcast, Anessa. I promise.
All right.
All right. This is the show where we talk about creatures not of this planet and all of the places they appear, including in film, TV, video games, comic books, science, and real life. We divide it up into three parts: the news, the creature feature, that's our spotlight of a certain kind of alien, and our picks for the week for our audio subscribers. If you'd like to see us record the show live, just follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Google+, and we'll let you know when and where that's going to be, or just go to galacticnetcast.com/live. All right, you guys ready?
Ready.
Born ready.
All right, here we go.
Born ready.
In the news.
All right, Warner Brothers has announced that March 14th, 2014 will be the release date for the sci-fi thriller All You Need Is Kill, starring Tom Cruise, in which his character repeatedly relives humanity's last stand against a brutal and ruthless horde of aliens. October 2nd, production began on the film, which is based on a novel of the same title and co-starring Emily Blunt, one of my favorite actresses ever. It's directed and executive produced by Doug Liman. All You Need Is Kill takes place in the near future, in which hive-like aliens called Mimics have killed millions in destroyed cities. Inexperienced Lieutenant Colonel Bill Cage, which is Cruise's character, is dropped into a suicide mission in which he is killed, but takes down an alien with him. But then he reawakens to relive his last day on Earth again and again. Cage learns to be a better alien killer and fights alongside the character played by Blunt, who has killed more Mimics than anyone else. The cast also includes Bill Paxton, Jonas Armstrong from BBC TV's Robin Hood, Tony Wei from HBO's Game of Thrones, among others. So what do you guys think of this? Does it sound good?
I would give it a watch.
It's Tom Cruise. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Maybe at the Dollar Theater. Or matinee, probably. That's what
I think the sparkle has kind of gone out of that star a while back. So I'm not excited about the Tom Cruise anymore.
So, okay. I want to talk about something real quick.
I'm more interested in the story than the Tom Cruise.
Anessa, I'd like to know your whole scale, because it sounds like you've got a system worked out for when and how you watch movies, because you've got the Dollar Theater, you got the matinee, you've got at night a feature film, And then does it go as far as like DVD rental and like actual broadcast TV? Is that how far the scale goes down to?
Well, I don't have broadcast TV anymore, so that kind of takes out that part of the scale.
Okay, all right.
Well,
okay, we'll replace that with streaming. Let's go streaming. With streaming instead.
I guess kind of. Like, there's some movies that I'm interested in seeing. I'm just not motivated enough to really go see them.
Yeah.
So, although sometimes it works out where I just don't have time or I forget about them and then they're already out of there and I'm like, oh, I'll catch it whenever it gets to the Dollar Theater. And then it comes and goes because for some reason the movies I like are only there for like a week. And I'm like, oh, I'll go see it next week and then done. So usually they end up streaming. Whether I want them to or not.
So, there's no hard, fast rule. It just, whatever happens, happens.
No, it's just,
yeah,
whatever happens. Although there are some movies that, like, I kind of want to see, but I don't really want to spend the $8, $10 or however much to go see a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, then that's usually the get there before 5 or whatever time it is in the matinee.
So, I have, back to this movie for a second, I have a theory about this. You guys want to hear it?
Yes.
Okay, this alien that he kills, there's something about their physiology that makes whoever kills them relive that. It's like being in hell, kind of. Know what I mean? It's kind of like they're made to experience that day over and over again for their punishment for killing them. What do you guys think of that theory? No?
I'm kind of thinking that maybe he's just dead and doesn't realize it. I don't know. Unconscious maybe and dreaming.
Brad, what do you think?
Well, we don't really know much about the aliens. Perhaps they have some kind of temporal-based weapon or something that explodes when he kills it, or they both kill each other mutually and he's bathed in something that causes him to jump in time.
If that was the case, I'd be so excited about this film because it would be time travel. And I love time travel.
Say, do you have another show that deals with time travel?
Yes, we do. And you know what? You guested on that show last week.
What's that?
I did.
Hey, have you seen? Did you see Looper?
No, I have not.
Oh, my respect for you diminishes day by day, Brad.
But I saw it twice, so does that make up for Brad?
No.
No. It does not.
I'm trying to help.
But it makes you so much a better person than Brad, Anessa.
I will say that I enjoyed it better the second time around.
I've learned some things since watching it from what people have said that I need to go back and rewatch it. Like, okay, we're not going to talk about it because we talked about it last week on Time Traveling Robots in Space. And our talk was limited because Brad hadn't seen it yet. He hasn't seen it still. So let's not talk about it.
All I was saying is I liked it better the second time.
Okay. And I went off on this.
I think part of it was because I finally got used to the makeup.
Okay. So the whole Joseph Gordon-Levitt looking like Bruce Willis through the entire first viewing, that bothered you?
Yes. Pretty much throughout the entire movie.
Okay.
I think I finally got used to it and was able to enjoy the movie, actually. So.
All right. So, again... All you need is kill. All you need is kill. It sounds like a Beatles song. All you need is kill.
It does.
Kill. Kill is all you need.
Yeah. Again, release date March 14th, 2014. All right. Moving on. What do you got for us, Anessa?
I got nothing.
No? Okay. Brad?
Show's over. Thanks, everybody.
Good night. A daytime video of a UFO flying over Tokyo, shot by a city worker in September, has caught the attention of the Japanese population. And, unlike night sightings, this footage was taken during the day, and it's easy to see the saucer as it flies over buildings. Researchers are studying the footage to figure out how real it is. Some think that the film does show an unidentified flying object, but others aren't as convinced. The witness who took the footage hasn't come forward, and there's no word if anyone else saw the UFO. This recent sighting is not the first in Japan. Throughout the years, many flying saucers have been seen and reported to the proper authorities. Some researchers have said that a leaked Japanese government document concedes that thousands of possible alien crafts have been spotted across the nation. Is something going on in the solar system that might cause the world governments to prepare for something as major as a possible invasion?
I don't know. Good question. You guys want to see it?
Sure.
All right, sure. Are you kidding me?
This is the kind of stuff that you guys miss for just listening to the podcast. So check out the video.
Watch the show.
Yeah, here it is. So how real does that look, man?
Was it over one spot?
Yeah, it's just sitting there. It's hovering. So crazy, huh?
It is.
It's not, doesn't it's seem to be moving.
Yeah.
I'm pretty skeptical because I work with 3D programs and programs like Adobe Premiere where you can do a lot of stuff like that. So, you know, I'm not always as impressed. I mean, it looks nice, but where's, you know, it didn't land anywhere. It didn't, it's just hovering. You know, what is it? Neil deGrasse Tyson says, you know, it's not enough for you to say, yep, I was taken by an alien and probed and whatever. You need to grab something. So if you're ever in a spaceship, you need to grab something so that you have evidence when you exit the spacecraft. Finally.
Yeah, in this day and age of technology the way it is, you know, amateur filmmakers making blockbuster Hollywood films and nobody else coming forward to talk about it, like they don't talk about eyewitnesses saying, oh my God, it was amazing, you know. The person that shot the video hasn't come forward. So I think that, we have to be a little bit skeptic when it comes to this video.
I mean, effects now are, and with powers, the power of computers now, you know, people are able to make really kind of interesting. I can't remember the name of the guy that I sometimes follow on YouTube. And he's worked with a lot of different people. He even did a short with Eliza Dushku. But he uses like Adobe Premiere and After Effects, and he does like full-on like the video that he did with Eliza Dushku. It was him, the actor or director, like infiltrating some place and like shooting all these people. And I mean, you can see the hit, you can see the blood, you know, shoot out the front of the head or wherever they're hit. And it looks realistic, but I mean, none of it was real. You know, the effects and people being able to just use your home computer to generate something like that. It's too easy now.
Have you guys seen that video of the Starship Enterprise hovering in the sky? And all these Star Wars characters, like stormtroopers, running around. And the stormtroopers get out some kind of shoulder-held like missile or some kind of big weapon. And they shoot it at the Starship Enterprise and it blows up. Have you guys seen that video?
I've not seen that video.
You should check it out.
No.
The reason I bring it up is if you can make that look realistic, then I'm sure that somebody can make a UFO... supposed UFO sighting look pretty realistic.
Indeed.
So I don't think we'll ever know if this is true or not. Unless, you know, in 2 weeks...
Unless the person actually comes out and said, oh yeah, I totally used Premiere.
Or the aliens make contact with us in a couple weeks going, yep, that was us.
Or, no, that totally wasn't us.
Yeah, that was the other guys. That was the Gutens. We're the Z-Bonds. We're the Z-Bonds.
And dropping sheep and whatever else they do.
Yeah, refer to previous episodes of the alien invasion if you're confused by that statement. All right, so you guys ready to move on? Or Brad, it looks like you are doing some kind of investigating.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the name of the gentleman who... Dang it, I wish I could remember his name offhand. Oh, wait, Derp.
Derp.
Look off to the side.
Let's hum along. Let's hum the Jeopardy theme.
I don't see it here. Boom, boom, shoot. Boom, 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 but his boom, stuff is boom. Exceptional, and he was making like a video a week, and just doing as much practical stuff that he could, and then in post, just doing some crazy things with After Effects. So, yeah. And all of it looked pretty darn believable. So
the lesson is almost anybody could make something like this. It's just it takes the right software and a little bit of skill.
Yeah, it really does.
Magic.
Huzzah.
It's kind of magic. All right, so we would love to know your thoughts on these two stories that we talked about so far. Are you interested in Tom Cruise in All You Need Is Kill? Or do you think this, as Brad shakes his head, or do you think this video of this UFO over Tokyo is real? Let us know. Leave us feedback. 805-328-3966. Somebody actually called the voicemail today, and I was so excited, but it turned out to be some kind of, telemarketer. I'm like, oh.
I went from... You built our hopes. You're like, someone called the voicemail. Yeah. And Brad's like, yay! And then, smash!
I know. I'm sorry.
Dreams crushed.
Yeah, sorry. All right, so, call us with something real. 805-328-3966, or you can email us galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. Let's continue.
So was it anything cool?
I haven't listened to it yet.
At least.
Hang on. You guys talk amongst yourselves. Let's listen to it. I'm going to go.
I don't know. Free subscription to Sci-Fi and Fantasy Magazine?
Yeah.
Could be something awesome.
Well, I read the transcript, and it didn't look like anything interesting. So,
ooh,
but
indeed.
Hang on here. I'm gonna play it for you guys as soon as my phone figures out what it wants to do here. How's your iPhone treating you, Anessa?
Way better than the BlackBerry.
Yeah.
yes.
I'm seriously considering rooting my Galaxy S3 this weekend.
To what?
Cyanamajan, whatever that.
What?
I did not pronounce it correctly. It starts with a C. It's a very well-known website where you can get mods of various variants of Android put on your phone. After you
with
root
the antigen mod?
Yes. Thank you.
But if you've got the Nexus has got. Do you have Jelly Bean or Ice Cream Sandwich on?
I have Ice Cream Sandwich.
Ice Cream Sandwich sounds so good right now.
Yeah, it does.
Sadly, this has got Eclair.
All right, it's not playing for some reason. Hang on, this is great.
It's one thing. Like the only thing that I don't like about Androids is they name all of their.
Would you spare a few minutes of your time? There's a huge opportunity to get paid every time someone fills their gas tank, and I can show you exactly how to do it.
I can show you exactly how to do it. Do you want to get paid?
Yeah, no, that's cool.
Do you want to make extra money? I can show you how.
Oh. We all do.
Yay! I want to, that sounds like you'd be, printing your own money, dude.
I know.
Hook me up.
It's totally legit, right?
We'll send you this Epson printer to get you started.
Hooray! I'm going to jail.
All right.
Hey, Tommy.
Tommy Pantera's here. All right, so let's wrap up the news, Brad, with your last story there.
All right, last story. Last month, a trio of astronomers began a two-year search for Dyson spheres, which, if they were to exist, would be a shell of solar panels surrounding a star. The search, which will span the Milky Way along with millions of other galaxies, was just awarded a civil grant from the Templeton Foundation, an organization that funds research on the big questions that face humanity, questions relating to human purpose and ultimate reality. Dun, dun, dun. Team leader Jason Wright says they won't be looking for solid shells, even though there is enough mass in our solar system to construct a solid sphere. Such a structure would not be mechanically feasible. It would probably have to be more like a swarm of collectors. According to Wright, the larger the civilization, the more energy it uses, which introduces the possibility of exponentially increasing energy demands. If left unchecked, these increases will eventually outstrip the available energy on a planet. That would leave a growing civilization no choice but to mine energy from other planets and even their stars. If Dyson spheres exist, they would give off a particular kind of heat signature, one that we should be able to see through the infrared telescopes. The solar energy collected by a Dyson sphere would heat it the same way that your computer heats up when you use electricity. That heat would radiate off the sphere as infrared light rather than visible light. A Dyson sphere would appear very bright in the mid-infrared, Wright explained, just like your body, which is invisible in the dark but shines brightly in mid-infrared goggles. If Wright and his team find something outside the range of expected astronomical phenomenon, should totally not do that while a lengthy confirmation process will begin, a process that will likely involve astronomers and telescopes across the world. For more, you can click the link in the show notes and not get an interrupted version like I just gave you.
So the Dyson sphere that they're talking about, the Dyson spheres that they're talking about, are not, they wouldn't be at all like the one that we saw in the Star Trek The Next Generation episode, Relics.
Correct. I read an article a while back about, like, if we were to do it here, I mean, we would have to pretty much disassemble a couple of planets, or the better part, at least one planet and the better part of another, to be able to strip out enough materials to basically create, solar collecting type panels around the sun.
Mm-hmm.
It would take a lot to do. And they're right. You could actually create a solid structure around it. It would take too much.
But I think
so. Your best bet is to create kind of bands or swarms around it.
Yeah, I think as a civilization, if you actually got to that point that you needed something like that, you would have the technology to be able to make not a shell, but like. A grouping of panels around the sun.
So it would be, I doubt that we'll see something like a Dyson sphere, us creating a Dyson sphere in our lifetime, but very fascinating stuff.
Couldn't we just put solar collectors in space, like in orbit of our planet or farther out? I guess the hard part would be getting the energy back onto the planet, right?
Yeah, you'd have to have like really long cables, and I'm not sure. I'm sorry, I couldn't even say that with a straight face. I apologize. I don't know. It would almost seem like you'd have to, charge up, large batteries and ship them back to Earth, or I don't know how you would wirelessly transmit energy. I know Tesla worked on it, but I don't know they actually can.
I picture that beam that they used in the 2009 Star Trek movie that destroyed Vulcan. That's what I imagine.
Yeah.
Of course, it wouldn't destroy our planet, but something like that, just a beam, what's the word I'm looking for?
A beam of energy.
Yes, I was trying to figure out a different word for beam, but beam is the best word to use to describe it.
An energy ray?
Ray. Uh-huh. Column.
A column of energy pouring from solar panels from orbit around
the Earth. A wave of energy?
A wave. That'd be more
See,
of a...
See, a wave sounds uncontrolled.
Yeah, it would be uncontrollable.
It'd be like spraying everywhere.
Wave.
Hey, I got energy in my eye. Well, hey, wait a second.
That sounds dirty.
Oh, God, thank you. I thought it was just me. Oh,
Anessa's always the one. She's always the one.
I'm not alone. Thank you.
Okay, but
that sounds
back to the conversation, the real conversation here.
You're welcome.
How about the space elevator? If we can build a space elevator, maybe that can be also used to transmit the energy that we collect from the solar arrays in orbit down to the Earth.
You know, I've always been kind of dubious about the space elevator sort of thing. I mean, I could, you know, having something in geosynchronous orbit to do something like that, I guess, but nobody's ever really done it, have they?
No, they haven't, but there's no, and Tommy in the chat room says teleporters. No, that was never going to happen.
No. Don't crush my...
I'm guessing that you said dreams, but you cut out Anessa.
Dreams.
Okay.
Dreams. Howdy. You're face. Crushing my dreams of teleportation.
Howdy face.
Space elevators are theoretical at this point, but there's people working on it and people that really want to make it happen. So we may yet see that someday.
Speaking of space, did the space diver thing happen? The Red
no,
Bull?
No, they had to cancel it. They had to postpone it. The winds were too high because this big-ass balloon...
It can only be like 2 miles an hour.
Yeah, 2 miles an hour, which is incredible because you're going so high up that... Can you imagine? That's got to be the calmest day in the world to be able to just have 2-mile-per-hour winds all the way up to the stratosphere.
Okay, thank you, Tommy. Yeah, I will check that. Yeah, I know, and also I did some reading too. The thickness of the balloon, like you've used a sandwich bag before, all right? I'm going to make that assumption. It's a tenth of that thickness.
Holy cow!
Wow.
So it's incredibly thin. So I mean, any wind higher than 2 miles an hour would wreak complete and utter havoc with that balloon.
And it's like a 9-story balloon, right?
55
story balloon. Wow.
Correct.
Is that one of the records that are going to...
That was the... hang on. I mean, continue talking.
Okay. Yeah, this is kind of funny because we talked about this last week on the Time Traveling Robots in Space. Didn't talk about it on this show, so we're kind of bleeding over. We're bleeding from one podcast to another.
The balloon is 55 stories and is incredibly thin and fragile. Like I said, the plastic is a tenth of the thickness of a sandwich bag.
That's incredible. No wonder they're very cautious about that.
Yes.
Well, if the balloon breaks, he can just fall. He's got the...
Yeah, he's okay, but the people inside it's not just him in the balloon. They've got handlers kind of controlling the balloon.
Wow.
I'm sure that they have parachutes.
Yeah, they got to have some.
I hope they have parachutes.
Yeah, they got to have some kind of backup thing for them.
Yeah, but I mean, still, that's cause, and if you look at it, I mean, they're kind of taking up a small pressurized chamber because they are going so high up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember checking out the video on Tuesday, and they had like this kind of large, it almost looked like an oversized, like dryer venting tube sticking in the side of it. And I think that they were kind of pumping it full of oxygen.
Yeah, didn't he have to breathe pure oxygen beforehand or something like that?
Yeah, because basically he'd be kind of depressurizing on the way down,
yeah.
And building up nitrogen in his system.
Well, I'm crossing my fingers for their next attempt.
Yeah, because they've already gone 19.5 miles, but now they're going up to 20... I can't remember if it's 23 or 28 miles.
Yeah.
Shoot, I'm looking through this story here.
I saw a picture that they took on one of the other attempts from their highest they were, and it looked like they were in orbit, even though they weren't. It was that high up that it looked like they were actually in space. So this is even going up higher. As Brad does.
Oh, and Tommy mentions they have to account for expansion as well. So yeah,
I see.
Yeah, that's a really freaking huge balloon. That's for sure.
All right, so that's the news. That's the news.
That is the news.
The sports is coming up next. But first,
oh yeah,
the alien invasion is brought to you by Audible.com for you, the Galactic Netcast listener or viewer. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. To coincide with the theme of this podcast, may we suggest Rescue Party, When the World Ends, Rescue Party, When the World Ends series, Volume 1 by Arthur C. Clarke. A spaceship crew from an advanced alien civilization notices that Earth faces imminent destruction as its sun begins to explode. With time rapidly ticking down, the crew desperately searches a now desolate planet for any possible human survivors. So if that sounds interesting to you, you can download it for free or take another pick by going to audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. And if you don't know what Audible is, if you haven't figured it out by us talking about it, it's audiobooks. Again, audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts, and we thank Audible for their support of the Alien Invasion podcast. All right, time for Creature Feature.
And now it's time for Creature Feature.
Oh, whoops. Sorry, my fault. All right, so I prepped the show, so I get to talk about the creature feature. It seems like forever since I actually had the creature feature. What I'm going to talk about is unipodal alien robots. These are aliens that are also robots. And I found out about these through a story of an eyewitness. After seeing a huge hat-shaped vessel exceeding 200 feet in diameter, hovering above a football field, a Brazilian bus driver in 1977, while traveling to Rio de Janeiro, was abducted by three futuristic robot entities who transported him inside the vessel. There he was subjected not only to the customary alien examination, but also to a slideshow. They maybe a little entertainment during the probe. Here's something to take.
And here's our vacation.
These aliens really love to show you where they've been all over the galaxy.
Oh man!
And
that's horrible.
I want to know.
This is Bob on that asteroid. Bob, remember that? It was a blast. Oh. You fell down.
He's a nut.
Yeah.
Anyways,
according to the man, his abductors were all 4 feet tall, excluding the vertical antenna on top of a featureless head shaped like a rugby ball standing on its tip. So imagine a rugby ball standing on its tip, which a rugby ball kind of looks like an American football, right? Kind of, sort of. It's
squatter on the ends.
Yeah.
It's not like the American football. It's much pointier on the ends. A rugby ball, it's
a little, wait, what?
Okay.
A little bit more squashed.
They were also equipped with a horizontal belt of blue mirror-like structures encircling its diameter. Beneath its head, which had no neck, was a body covered in scales resembling dull aluminum. It also had a waist-high belt bearing a series of hooks holding syringe-like objects, plus two arm-like appendages that curved downwards but terminated in a point, lacking hands. Its body was borne upon a tall, slim, centrical pedestal with a circular base at its tip. So these are alien robots that were on a pedestal. Think of a floor lamp with wheels.
Huh.
Sort of.
All right.
So I thought this was interesting. I always like to find the different ones because we are, I mean, there's the grays, of course. And then there's the reptile aliens. You got the insectoids. You got the Nordic aliens, the blondes with the blue eyes. Then you've got the ones that live under the planet. But you hardly ever hear about the robot aliens, especially these. They're just, it seems like they, what they can do is limited by how they're made. I mean, they're on a pedestal, you know?
Oh, very true.
I can go over here. I can go over here. I can go up. I can go down.
Twist and shout.
Can they jump? Yeah. I would think that a lot of jumping would be involved.
Yes. So
if they have crisscross.
Because crisscross makes
dude,
you want to jump.
Seriously?
Jump.
You went there.
Jump.
You went with the crisscross.
I went there. I went with the crisscross.
Hey,
we'll
you know what?
Jump.
Crisscross jump. Wore their clothes backwards.
Word.
How awesome is that?
You got me. Yep.
So there you go. That's our creature feature. Any thoughts?
Love the alien. Don't love the crisscross. They make me want to jump out a window.
Oh, come on, Brad. You got to love crisscross.
Okay.
You're not my friend anymore.
What about Daddy Mac?
Because no friend of mine.
I'm not. Oh, there it is.
Man, moves. That of all things to terminate a friendship, yep. It's crisscross. I'm sorry.
It's like politics, man. You know?
Yep. There it is. It's finally happened. He moves away to Iowa, and all of a sudden, that's it.
So what would a group
change?
What would a group of aliens, if a group of aliens formed a hip-hop group, what would they be called? Or what would their thing be? Like, you know, crisscross wore their clothes backwards. What would these robots on pedestals, what would their thing be?
They'd have
they
their phasers
have
set
magnets.
To fabulous.
Ew, fabulous.
Boom, check that out.
Very nice.
That's right. All hail the jazz hands.
All right, guys, that's your creature feature. Hey, you know what? Yeah, I don't think we have anything more really say about this.
Tell, Dave.
You can listen to the Galactic Netcasts on Stitcher Smart Radio. And I saw that Brad on Facebook this week liked Stitcher.
I did, too.
Heck yeah.
Oh, I didn't see your liking
Stitcher
it.
Stitcher is a great app, and they have apps for iOS, for Android, mm-hmm. for... correct me if I'm wrong, but don't they have
BlackBerry and Nook,
okay?
And I think they have Windows, maybe. I'm not entirely sure.
I'm sure that they have Windows Phone 7 apps as well.
And I'm kind of wondering. Well, you keep talking about it, but I thought that Stitcher also had some availability in some cars.
I think you're right. I think I've seen that. Yes, you know what? I saw a commercial this week with Stitcher on there, and I'm like, hey, Stitcher's on the car radio. That's awesome. What I like about Stitcher is when breaking news happens, I've got my alerts, my notifications set up that once in a while, like they'll do like a 60. I don't know who does these. I don't know if it's people actually at Stitcher or people that have shows on Stitcher, but they have news updates, and they're like about 60 seconds long, telling you what the story is that's breaking. So I kind of like that about Stitcher.
I don't know. I listen to a lot of the well, I don't think it's part of the same thing, but there's Scientific American that has these 60-second segments. So they've got like 60-second science, earth, health, technology, and some other stuff. And I used to listen to those quite a bit, and I was really happy to find them on Stitcher. So I've started listening to them again, along with the Jodcast, which is a really good astronomy podcast. It's very British, but it's still pretty good. And then there's also, I forget what else I listened to, but I was really sad that the USGS Corecast was not on there.
Oh.
But that's not really related to anything we talk about.
But Stitcher has quite a variety of shows that you can get. And
they do.
Just go to Stitcher.com. Either go to your app store on your mobile device, or go to Stitcher.com/GalacticNetcasts. Enter that promo code, Galactic Netcasts, so we get some credit for it. And Stitcher Smart Radio, it's the smarter way to listen to radio. Smarter. I'm just saying, it's smarter.
And I think, and just the Nerdist is actually going to get Tom Hanks on the show.
Whoa.
That's what I've heard.
That's a huge get.
Yep. Yeah. They actually found an old 1934 typewriter and sent it to him and an invitation to come on the show. And he actually typed back a response and signed it. Stating that, oh, you think you can bribe me with this really super awesome typewriter? All right, fine, I'll be on the show.
That's awesome.
it's just, that's, God. I want to be Chris Hardwick. Is that so wrong?
No, there's nothing wrong with
that.
His life is pretty sweet, I have to say. All right, let's move on to our picks. Brad, you're up first.
All right. You know, I'm a... I'm big into 3D animation, and you know, the blockbuster Monsters vs. Aliens came out, which is one of I think one of the first 3D movies. Actually, it was the second 3D movie. I saw Avatar first, and then I saw Monsters vs. Aliens as a 3D film, and with the glasses, the whole nine. Oh wait, with the glasses and the whole nine yards. There we go. And I really enjoyed it. And then imagine my surprise when I was flipping through Netflix and I saw that they had made a sort of a follow-up, a holiday follow-up of Halloween-based shorts. They were like TV specials. They did a Halloween Shrek. And they did a Halloween Monsters vs. Aliens Mutant Pumpkins from Outer Space. So when I saw that, I lost my mind and had to watch it. I watched Shrek, but I was really more impressed with the Monsters vs. Aliens. And they got the original cast back. They got... I always want to say Dr. House, but obviously it's not. Seth Rogen, Hugh Laurie... Reese Witherspoon, who finally had her baby after, I think she was pregnant for 2 years. Will Arnett, Kiefer Sutherland. But then they also got Jeffrey Tambor. They got Rainn Wilson. Trying to see if they have another... I don't see another name here that really kind of stands out to me. But they got the original cast plus a couple other great... actors and actresses to join the fun. And they ended up putting together another wonderful alien-based monster fight. I'm going to give you a quick rundown of what IMDb had to say about it as the plot. Susan Murphy, a.k.a. Ginormica, and the monsters are now working with the U.S. government as special ops. So when an alien presence is detected in Susan's hometown of Modesto, California, right before Halloween, the team is dispatched to investigate. Everything appears normal right down to the jack-o'-lanterns peering out from every doorstep and windowsill. But when Halloween arrives, these innocent-looking carved pumpkins reveal themselves for what they really are, mutant aliens. The altered pumpkins then start to implement their fiendish plan to take over the Earth. The monsters are there to combat the mutant gourds and try to smash their wicked scheme.
This plot reminds me of that Doctor Who episode, the Christmas episode. I think it was the first one with David Tennant, where the Santa Clauses turned into murdering machines. They were all robots, and they turned into. Wasn't that Tennant episode?
Yes.
I don't know if it was a Christmas episode.
Or it was an episode special? That happened on Christmas.
I don't think it was like set up as its own Christmas special. Was that the one with the spinning Christmas trees and stuff?
Yes. That was Invasion. Yep. Okay. Wasn't it Invasion Earth or something like that?
I think so. That actually was like a key episode for the next couple of seasons of that, mm-hmm. but with the events that happened in that. But yeah. I guess you could. And the kickoff to how this all starts is just kind of like this innocuous, weird, alien spacecraft is making a pit stop over a pumpkin patch, and they literally flush out material, and the material infects the gourds. All these pumpkins in this pumpkin patch, and the pumpkins are then sold and distributed, and then wackiness ensues soon after.
That's smart.
Which ends up with a giant, imagine Voltron, but with pumpkins.
It's yes.
crazy.
Yes.
Absolutely
right.
crazy.
Yes, I'm imagining that right now.
And you also have a minor plot line with Dr. Cockroach really kind of being upset by Halloween. He never wants to celebrate Halloween because of something that happened to him as a child. And it's really kind of a heartbreaking story. And, it's a small part of it. And the whole thing is just, it's really fun. And Kiefer Sutherland, I remember seeing Monsters vs. Aliens, the regular movie, and the character that he portrays, General W.R. Monger. I didn't realize that was Kiefer Sutherland until the credits rolled. I mean, he does such a great, hardened, badass general voice that you can't even really tell that it's him. So that was really kind of fun.
Oh, dude, that guy's got the greatest voice in the world.
He does.
I would kill for that voice. Literally, I would kill somebody for that voice. Or kill Kiefer for that voice.
I feel very uncomfortable.
I'm just going to do my little awkward turtle.
Awkward turtle.
So I had a comment not relating to anything really, except for Modesto, California. That always reminds me of like on game shows or on old style commercials. When they ask you to write Modesto, California, 5, blah, 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 blah. That always reminds me of that.
I wonder if that's not an intentional callback to that.
That's possible.
Because the whole underlying thing of the monsters versus aliens is just kind of a throwback to, like the 50s weird science fiction, alien invasion kind of films that, we did our Attack of the 50s show. You want to check our archives for that. It's just kind of it's an intentional throwback to that whole genre. And it's done so well. Absolutely well. So this is just a really fun story, and it's perfect because we're heading into the Halloween holiday season. So, it's a good fun for everybody, for all ages. There's jokes for everybody. So,
all right.
My recommendation is to check it out. It is on Netflix, and I know it's also available for sale, so it will end up in our picks with links to Amazon. So,
yeah, please go to the website galacticnetcast.com, click on picks, and if you want to buy it through our portal to Amazon so we can get credit, and you can support the show that way. Easy peasy.
Word.
All right, Anessa, you're up. What's your pick?
I actually picked an episode. Actually, it's a two-part episode, so I picked parts one and two of the Sarah Jane Chronicles called The Revenge of the Selene. I'm sure we're familiar with the Selene aliens, family Selene. They appeared in an episode or two of Doctor Who. And in the episode of Doctor Who, they end up being pretty much destroyed. And it's actually another part of the same family that comes to Earth to seek revenge. And they want to destroy all human life on Earth so that way they can sell it and make money for real estate. That's what they do. And that's what their family did, or some of their family members did in the past and failed at. So they try again. But this time, they run across Sarah Jane and crew. So Maria is a girl, if you guys haven't seen it. She's a neighbor of Sarah Jane. And Dave has one of the Selenes up there in the screen if you just happen to be watching the video or watching us live on Spreecast. And so Maria is the neighbor's daughter, and Sarah Jane has adopted a son named Luke. And Maria and Luke go to school together, they're classmates. And they're new to the school, and they end up making a friend named Clyde. And Clyde just keeps hanging around them because he's new and he doesn't know anybody else, and he just kind of becomes part of the circle eventually. Not because they want him to, but as he's seen too much. but anyway, so they're at the new school, and there are two teachers and a class genius that turn out to be Selenes wearing human skin. And so, like I said, they're out trying to destroy the life that's on Earth so that way they can sell Earth as a plot of land, basically.
that's awesome.
And the way they're doing this is they're basically draining power from the from Earth, from all of electronic or anything that generates heat, I guess. Although it doesn't really make sense because humans generate some form of heat, but we don't seem to drain in any way. Although it does mention that they decay over time, but whatever. Anyway, so yeah, they are draining all the power, and they're trying to create like this network of different schools that would be able to drain the power from the sun, thus turning it off long enough for the Earth to temperatures to dip below freezing and killing all human life, and they would be safe hidden in their special heated rooms. So after everything's done, they just come out and they're like, okay, for sale. So yeah, the episode's basically trying to stop the Selene succeeding in this manner and building friendships and kind of introducing the characters and getting more familiar, because this is the first episode of season one, or the two episodes of season one, but it's not the pilot, and okay. I haven't seen the pilot. I've only seen these two episodes, so.
I'm wondering if the pilot was originally like a movie to propose a series.
Probably, because the pilot says it's 1 hour long. I actually stream these through Amazon Prime, because I have the Amazon Prime membership. And unfortunately, it's not available on Netflix, but it is available on Amazon for streaming. So if you want to pay for the episodes, you can go through our website. Or if you happen to have Amazon Prime, you can stream them.
Cool.
Put it in your membership.
For a second, I thought when I first looked at this, I thought it was the Sarah Connor Chronicles. And I saw Revenge of the Selene. I'm like, they weren't on the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Wrong, Sarah. But no, I enjoy the episode. And Sarah Jane has a sonic lipstick. Not a screwdriver, sonic lipstick.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Did she have that when she was on Doctor Who, or was that a thing that came on or that she got afterwards?
I don't know. Brad would maybe have a better idea of that than I.
Pardon me?
Sorry, we interrupted your sleeping, Brad. No, I'm kidding.
I missed the con. What now?
Okay. Sarah Jane has sonic lipstick. Did she have it when she was on the show, Doctor Who? At any point? Or is that something that she acquired? She appeared on Doctor Who in the series.
I honestly don't recall, and I watched a lot of the Tom Baker stuff, but I didn't catch everything, but I don't ever recall her having sonic lipstick in the Tom Baker run. That's a good question. To the inner tubes.
I wonder if they explain that later.
Yeah,
on
she
the
had
series.
A sonic lipstick, and she had a computer called Mr. Smith that would research things.
That's awesome because isn't that the name that the doctor uses once in a while? Smith.
Yes.
Oh. Okay. Just checking out the TARDIS wiki. The sonic lipstick was left inside of K-9 after the 10th Doctor, David Tennant's iteration, had fixed K-9. So he left it inside of K-9 as a present for Sarah Jane. So it is specific to the Sarah Jane Chronicles.
Okay.
It's weird because like K-9 wasn't in the episode. Kind of made me sad.
Not me. I think K-9 is a little bit
unless it came
lame.
Out like in the pilot episode, but he wasn't anywhere in either of the two.
I hope K-9 died in the pilot episode. I don't like K-9.
Why don't you like K-9?
I think it's lame. I don't know. I don't have a good reason for it. I just don't like him. Sorry.
He doesn't like you.
He's gonna come over and
take that.
He's gonna come over and pee on me.
K-9 doesn't like you.
Pee electricity on me.
Uh-huh.
Is he gonna come over and pee electricity on me?
He's gonna electrocute you.
He's got like the laser gun out of his nose.
Nose.
That's right. Yeah. Okay.
Pew 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 and done. You're out.
Yeah. Okay. I take it back. Sorry, K-9. I don't want to die by a robot dog. By way
I think
of robot dog.
He's got different settings. He could just knock you out with the nose gun.
All right, got it.
Kane is going to knock you out.
All you.
We have quite the hip hop themed this episode, I have to say.
Boy.
All right. Bird. Let's wrap up picks with mine. Mine is The Neighbors. Brad, you remember when we talked about this initially on the show? The Neighbors?
Yes, with Doug. What's his name? The guy that...
I think it's...
In the Hellboy movie, he was Abe Sapien.
I think the actor's name is Lenny Venito, possibly.
Shoot, why can't I remember his name?
Well, he's the human father, I think. The guy that plays the human father on The Neighbors is the guy that you're thinking of, I think. Simon Templeton is the actor that plays the main alien. And, of course, what the show is about is a group of aliens that are hiding in this development in New Jersey. It's rather interesting. I like it. I don't think it's going to last the season, unfortunately, because the ratings have already started to fall. In fact, it fell 40% from the first to second week. The series is set in New Jersey, around a family that has relocated to a gated townhouse community called Hidden Hills. Upon their arrival, they discover that the entire community is populated by residents from another planet. These aliens have adopted as their own the names of sports celebrities, which is, I always laugh when they call each other by their sports celebrity names. It's funny. Yes, Brad.
Yes, he plays Dominique Wilkins.
Okay.
Character.
Okay, sorry, so continue. It's not the human father. It's not the guy that plays the human father then. Must be somebody else. Must be one of the aliens.
He plays an alien.
Okay, all right, got it. If you watch this, it will remind you very much of Third Rock from the Sun. It's the whole fish out of water story, especially the last episode, because the aliens went to the mall and they thought it was the greatest thing ever. I mean, the main alien dude steps through the door and it's like he's blown away by how awesome the mall is, which I can understand. If you've never been to a legitimate mall before, your first time at a mall is pretty mind-blowing, don't you think?
Yeah.
I would think so.
Yeah. So anyways, that's my
especially
pick.
Depending on the size of the mall.
Yeah, no, yeah. Or if you're used to the certain size of a mall and then go to a bigger mall, like the mall that we have here in Waterloo.
MOA.
What, huh?
Mall of America.
Yeah, Mall of America is that if you want a mall, that there is a mall. That's the biggest mall of them all. So
much shopping.
So my pick is The Neighbors. It's Wednesdays, 7:30 Central Time on the American Broadcasting Company. That's ABC for people that have no idea what I just referred to. ABC TV. Have you guys seen any footage from The Neighbors?
I have not, 'cause I'm lame.
I think I saw some of the teaser stuff before the show aired, but in all honesty, I wasn't feeling it.
If you just get beyond the premise and you'll be fine. You know, just pay no attention to how stupid the premise is, because the premise is pretty stupid. Just the
fair enough.
You are the point of the show.
just the whole relationship between the humans and the aliens, like there's this whole thing that's going through the plot of the second episode where the human wife is convinced that the aliens are going to eat them. She keeps waking up to these bad nightmares that the aliens are going to eat them, and she's trying to get them to admit that they're not going to eat them. Like, they're trying to, and they kind of get mad at her after a while. No, we're not going to eat you. And then there's and they think that the neighbors are spying on them, and then they go back over to the aliens' house, and the aliens are like, they're always looking at us. So it's just a repackaging of the whole neighbor, you know, next to neighbor sitcom type setup show. So there you go. That's my pick, The Neighbors.
Sweet.
Excellent.
And that there is a podcast. You guys satisfied with the conclusion?
No. Where can people follow us and find this?
Oh, yeah. There's all that stuff, huh?
Say, are we on the Facebooks or other parts of the intertubes?
Maybe. I don't know.
Good question, Brad.
Not like we
are
can update it anymore anyway.
The answer, truthfully, is yes. We are on Facebook. We are on Twitter. We are on Google+. And the easiest way to find out, like, to get links to all of our accounts on all those social networks is by going to galacticnetcasts.com. Or just type in, say, Galactic Netcasts on Facebook. You will find us, all right? So just find us, follow us, circle us, like us. Those are the three things, right? Like,
love
circle,
us.
Follow. Okay. But the greatest way to love us is subscribe to us, all right? Subscribe.galacticnetcasts.com. And then you go onto iTunes and give us a 5-star rating and give us a great review. And that way we get more subscribers and more happy Galactic Netcasts Alien Invasion listeners. Right?
Yep.
All right.
That's it. That's the show.
Another one for the record books. Episode 50.
Yeah.
Thank you, 50. One and all.
Yep. We're old now.
Back in my day.
Back in episode 39. All right. That's it, guys. Have a great week.
That was a real show back in the day.
Oh, my hip. I think I'm going to go now.
And there it is.
All right, guys. See you next week.
All right. Sounds great. Later, Dave.
Bye.
Bye.
What was that?
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.